From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Across the country, many parents and educators are struggling with the same question: should cell phones be kept out of school? Well, for more than 200 families in the Boise School District, that answer may be yes. As more research emerges linking technology and social media to poor mental health, parents are in search of solutions. They're looking for ways to help their children, which is why one local group is working to make changes with a new set of initiatives. So joining us now to talk more about this effort are Treasure Valley parents Kim Washington, Tara Coughlin, and Nicola Blair. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us today.
It is our pleasure to have you here. Kim, let me start with you. Can we start the conversation by talking a little bit more about this initiative and how it got started?
Yes. So a group of us parents got together last November following the 4 students' deaths by suicide within our Boise School District. And we just felt compelled that we needed to do something more to help our youth and their mental wellness. And so we did a lot of research, and based on a local survey done on students by the Communities for Youth organization in 2022, they found that the two main drivers of depression and suicidal ideation in our Boise youth are high levels of stress and experiencing high levels of social isolation. And one of the ways to help solve that is to build authentic connections and communities. And so based on these findings, we came up with 4 different initiatives that are all evidence-based that help improve what we feel will help improve our youth mental wellness. One of those initiatives is the initiative that myself, Tara, and Nicola are working on, which is the appropriate use of technology in our classrooms. Mm-hmm. And currently we're really focused on the smartphone, not having smartphones not be used during all school hours.
Mm-hmm. So Tara, I know all 3 of you have each done a lot of research on the impacts that technology and social media can have on our children's mental health. So can you or you know, whomever feels comfortable with this question, can you talk a little bit more about what those impacts are? And so Tara, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there's tremendous impacts, and we're just living right now daily. You just hear of more and more cases, more studies, more research that comes out, and just the profound mental health crisis that our youth are in. And, you know, no data shows that these platforms are safe. There's just a growing evidence of harm. And I think about it like the opportunity costs, like by kids using and spending, you know, 8 to 9 hours on technology, mm-hmm. what are they missing out? You know, are they missing learning how to play guitar? Are they missing learning to be a cook in the kitchen? Tech and social media just take away from what's really needed to reduce stress and anxiety. Just those real world connections, time outside, sleep, exercise. It's just adding in kind of that FOMO, fear of missing out, cyberbullying, et cetera.
You know, the U.S. Surgeon General recently called for warning labels to be added to social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram, basically like we see on tobacco products. So I'm curious, and Nicola, I'll ask you this. Do you think something like that would actually make a real world difference?
I think it would definitely help just alone for education awareness. And this is something we definitely put a lot of focus on, to actually educate others of the harms. And I feel just to have a label on this platform would help to make others aware that this should be treated like any other drug or danger that we are dealing with for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think, social media can be made safer for our kids, and we all just have a role and a responsibility to do something and make a difference. And by the U.S. Surgeon General proposing this warning, warnings have been shown to work with tobacco and just increasing awareness for people and changing behavior. So I think that it isn't like an entire fix, but at least it's like another tool from a toolbox that can increase education for parents and students.
Yeah. You know, I think as a parent myself, it can be hard to enforce boundaries, you know, with our kids when it comes to issues like, you know, social media use, their phone, all of that. And a lot of it seems to be, you know, because all their friends have phones, right? And in particular, when it comes to when do you give your child a phone? So I'm curious about what kind of feedback all of you have been hearing from other parents about this. I mean, you can't be the only three who are saying we need to see some changes in school.
Go ahead, Nicola.
We're definitely not the only three, because there was one thing we realized once we started this whole initiative and talking to more people, how many parents there were to actually say, oh my gosh, we thought we were alone. This is such a big issue. We want change, but we didn't know there were so many who are also looking for change. So I think just the part of being together and doing this together collectively and get support and make sure that our kids are not the only ones to be left out and feel everybody else has it but them. I think that is a huge difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is Kim talking. I felt the exact same way. I wasn't sure if I wanted to give, or my husband and I weren't sure if we wanted to give our children smartphones in junior high. We knew we didn't want to, but we also know that there's a lot of pressure hearing from our friends who do have children in junior high and how difficult mm-hmm. it is to say no, because it becomes kind of their main way to network with their friends. So we are very lucky that we have two children in elementary school. It is a lot easier for us to go ahead and start this now, to say we want to delay smartphones for our kids. We went ahead and found there's a great platform called Wait Until 8th, which mm-hmm. just makes it really easy to get parents to come together and make kind of a pledge together. It's not a contract. It's just kind of a, hey, I know that there's other parents and with their kids that won't have smartphones when our kids go to junior high, and they won't feel alone when they're sitting at lunch, which has become really hard on the kids that don't have smartphones right now in junior high. As far as, you know, our friends that have kids in junior high who already have smartphones, they're struggling, but they also know how much it a negative impact their kids are having because of their use. So we're trying to also provide education on ways to roll back a little bit. If it's removing certain apps from the social media apps for the phones and only having it available at computers at home, if it's removing notifications so they're not constantly looking at it. And this is not just a youth issue, this is adults too. We, mm-hmm. I think we all struggle with this personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you know,
go ahead.
This is Tara.
No, go ahead, Tara.
The tide is kind of changing, like the momentum is there. And the most recent book by Jonathan Haidt with The Anxious Generation, I mean, that it's gotten so much press and there's so much discussion out there that I feel like we are kind of starting to turn a corner with mm-hmm. the smartphones and, you know, kids, like just everybody having one. There's just been more change in regards to that.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, though, because when you I feel as if we are the first generation of parents who are raising children, not just with smartphones, but with social media, right? There is no roadmap, and our kids are guinea pigs, right? So, and then there is this burden placed on parents about how we're supposed to manage all of this. And again, I feel like we've had to navigate this without really any kind of expertise until like a book like you just mentioned, Tara, has come out, right? And now all of a sudden there's starting to kind of be some research. But I'm curious about how this is playing out when you talk to other parents about these four initiatives or you know, this Wait Till 8. What does that feel like when you're coming together and talking to other parents and even maybe kids?
This is Kim. I think we've gotten an overwhelming positive response from parents that there are a lot of parents that may not want to pledge because they don't want to sign on to a particular website, but they 100% want to delay smartphones for their kids. I feel like the more and more this is being talked about, the more and mm-hmm. more people feel like they have permission to do this. it just becomes this collective action. There are some parents that, again, have already, you know, given their children smartphones, and it's hard. And I think that's a difficult one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, this is Nicola, a lot of parents voice their gratitude that we are taking the initiative to actually hopefully cause change. And a lot of people are just as passionate as we are, but they don't have the time or the capability of doing anything. So I think it's just good to be their voice and kind of filling the gap between all these parents and all these voices that are not heard, and then actually communicate that to the community, to the school district, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just mentioned that kind of feeling like the guinea pigs, and it's 100% true. I mean, this is an experiment, a social experiment, and frankly, the data shows it's not going well, so we need to do something.
What is the policy in the Boise School District right now?
Sure. Thank you, Gemma. So currently, the Boise School District does not have a district-wide policy. They leave it up to the individual schools to decide what each individual school decides is best for their students and families. We know overall, there are a handful of junior highs that have a no cell phone policy limited to instructional time only. There is one junior high that goes a little bit more and says no cell phones allowed to be used in the building, but it is allowed outside during lunch and breaks. As far as high school, there are currently, as I understand, no cell phone policies involved, like, or no restrictions. However, based on the letter we sent to the school board and the senior administrators in April, the secondary, as I understand, the principals from all the secondary schools got together, and they're going to be aligned, and they're doing a no cell phone policy during instructional time only. Mm-hmm. The school district, in response to the letter that we sent, were incredible. They were so positive. They immediately reached out, wanted to sit down and have a meeting and hear more about our initiatives. And we also wanted to hear, you know, some of our initiatives the school district was already addressing. And so we kind of all wanted to get on the same page. And we realized our goals are aligned, but they also acknowledged their process is slow because they have a lot of voices to include in this before they make any district-wide decisions. Mm-hmm. They did recently in June, early June, they put out a survey to all parents and teachers that asked questions on these, all four of our initiatives, and to get feedback on where we all stood. And we're hoping to get those results back in the next week or two.
The other thing, this is Tara, the other thing is that we're actively working with leadership with the Boise School District. And we're hopeful to have a pilot program starting in a couple of the junior high schools, hopefully for January 2025, to incorporate Yonder pouches into the schools. Again, we are going to have to fundraise for those to pay for the expense, but that's just kind of just support mm-hmm. for the students in order to have separation and have a school day 6 to 7 hours without their cell phones so that you can hear laughter and socialization during breaks and during lunches.
Tara, explain to us what that pouch is. I've not heard that term.
The Yonder pouch is, I believe it's made of like neoprene material, and it has mm-hmm. a magnetic lock. And so phones, earbuds, smartwatches are put into those pouches, and then they are locked at locking stations. So the students carry them with them in their backpacks during the day, or they can put them in their lockers. However, they don't have access to them. So you kind of mentioned like a ban. We don't like to use the word ban, but what we've talked more about is a bell-to-bell, no cell phone policy. So before school, after school, kids have access to their smartphones or their cell phones. And they just during the school day, where the focus really should be on school and, you know, being a kid and interacting with each other, that they don't have that distraction of their smartphones with them.
This is Nicola.
Ahead, Nicola.
This is also a great tool for parents, for teachers and the administration to help them out with the policing of the cell phone policy, because that is a huge reason why a lot of schools shy back from it, because they say they don't have the manpower or they don't have the resources to actually police the cell phone use. And if the, those phones are in those pouches, that would take away that burden and make it more successful.
Are there parents who are against this in regards to the fact that I think it's fair to say schools have become more dangerous over the years? And in regards to things like school shootings, and parents, I think, are on high alert to want to be able to contact their children. So has there been any pushback about, you know, a child not having access to an outside communication?
Yes, definitely. But it is a small subset of parents. And I mean, we're parents ourselves, and we have that concern as well, like with, you know, shootings at schools. There is more support with each other. You know, there are things that we can do, and we have to just empathize with those parents that have those concerns, because we do too. Mm-hmm.
I will say this anecdotally. So my children go to private school, and I have a middle schooler and I have a high schooler. There are incredibly strict cell phone policies at both of their schools, very strict. And when I listened to an interview from the U.S. Surgeon General recently, and he talked about things like in high schools in particular, where kids are on their phone, there's no chatter in the hallways, right? There's no talking in the cafeteria because everybody's on their phone. And so I asked my high schooler, and I said, hey, I'm curious about your experience. Is this going on? And he looked at me and he was like, I don't know where you're getting that information from, because that's not the case. We have to have our heads up policy during passing in the hallways, so they can't have their heads in their phone. The kids all interact during lunchtime. But I truly believe that comes from the fact that they had such a strict policy in their middle schools, so that, you know, you could never have your cell phone with you. And so I'm just, with that being said, I am curious with what you are trying to do with this initiative to be like, look, there is anecdotal information out there, even in local schools, that these policies can work, in particular if we start them in middle school where children know what the policy is, right? There and they'll follow it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this is Kim again. I do want to say that the district and the people we've spoken to and staff, I think they support this. I think what they need to know is that parents support this. They want youth to support this. And so that is what they're needing. So they need us to help spread the word and provide this education to our community, so that the parents and youth, and you know, youth, it's a little bit harder, but that is what they're looking for. They're looking to know that parents want this.
And no. I think that's important. And that is one of the reasons why they've sent these surveys out. Are they needing a certain number of surveys to come back, in order to move forward? And if so, like, what are their next steps as a school district with the meetings that you have had with them so far?
Tara, would you like to answer this?
I'll hand it over to you, Kim.
sure. Okay, so we know that we can't reveal specific information as far as the survey
perfect.
results, but what we can say is they had an overwhelming response from both parents and teachers, and that both were aligned as far as their questions on social media and cell phones, and that there is good support that more restrictions are needed, and more than the classroom. And so now what we understand is that now that we have this information, it is now kind of in the logistics stage. Okay, we need to talk to the schools. We need to find out, is everyone on board with this plan? So we're kind of in the logistical stage. So we can't say if anything, you know, we're not the district, but we know that things are moving forward. We hope they continue to move forward. But right now, things are looking positive.
I have one more quick question, and I have less than a minute. What advice do you have for other parents who might want to do a similar initiative in other school districts?
This is Kim. The best thing that you can do is find people that share your values and start talking about it. Two communities in McCall and in Blaine County, parents have done this. They have created petitions and a letter. They circulated it amongst their community with parents, families, staff of schools about what they're looking for, sent it to their board, and they are seeing changes from this. So if people can get together, write letters, write petitions, send it to your schools, change will start to happen because the schools will see parents want this, teachers want this.
The other thing I'll add in, Gemma, is that we have a website that we are actively working on and improving, but it's www.youmeweall.org. And parents can sign up for our newsletter as well as reach out to us via email.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.